You just heard me tell the kids that words have power, which is something that the centurion in today's story from Luke recognizes. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and was close to death. The centurion sends Jewish elders to Jesus, hoping that he will come to heal the slave. And after Jesus comes, the centurion sends friends who tell Jesus, "For I also am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and the slave does it." When the centurion says go or come, things happen. The centurion speaks and makes things happen. Probably because of who the centurion is, a man holding power. But this man with power, a man who is used to getting what he wants when he speaks, recognizes, especially in this instance, that his power is limited. He also recognizes Jesus has a greater authority, greater power than he. A power that can also make things happen simply by speaking. Words have power. They have since the beginning of time. In Genesis 1, God spoke creation into being. And since that time, God has been speaking order out of the chaos, structuring our existence, ordering human society, and speaking salvation into being. A little over a month ago, we heard again the Christmas story in which we recall that the Word became flesh, that God's Word came to dwell with us, to make all things new. And later in the story, the Apostle Paul will tell the Romans, faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. Words have power. Power to create and to heal. Power to rebuke and to save. Most of Jesus' healings are done not with action, but by merely speaking it into being. Stand up, take your mat. You have been made well. And in this particular instance, Jesus doesn't even need to say the word. He comments on the faithfulness of the centurion, on the man's understanding of how powerful words can be, particularly Jesus's words. And then when those who had been sent returned, they found the slave healed. Words have power. Not only God's word, but even our own. Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King Jr. have inspired so many with their words, as have many coaches and players in a short timeout speech at the end of a game or when things look bleak at halftime. Inspirational speeches are a staple in movies, often sports movies like Rudy and Any Given Sunday. But they can also be found in superhero movies like Avengers Endgame. Words have power. And right now, words are much of what we've got as we try to stay connected. In this physically distant time, there aren't many handshakes or hugs. There's less hanging out with friends and simply being in each other's presence. Save for a socially distant driveway conversation or a Zoom gathering or a FaceTime conversation where we are able to see each other, we rely entirely on words to stay connected. And these words have the power to be used as bullets to inflict a wound, or as Jesus does with the centurion and the widow at Nain, seeds to grow something new. Occasionally, some words are simply said without a thought as to the wake they may cause, a wake that has the power to inflict harm where we did not expect. And while words usually have power because of our relationship with the other person, because the power that person wields in our life, Sometimes it's simply the words that have power, which is never clearer to me than on social media. How many of us have dwelled on a comment, either on social media or something made in passing by someone that we didn't even know? How many of us have continued to allow someone to rent space in our heads because of something mean-spirited or demeaning that they said to us, even when we don't know them? Words have power. And it seems on social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter, often that power is used in ways that do more harm than good. I would give up on it altogether, except that I've also seen the opposite. I've borne witness countless times to those who need connection, who need a positive word in their life, as they find all sorts of words and love and support in response to something that they said, even from people they don't know. Words have power. The power to tear down and the power to build up, the power to harm and the power to plant the seeds of something new. For those in the LGBTQIA community, using chosen pronouns and names validates and acknowledges rather than denies. The consistent use of words like darkness to imply something bad continues to reinforce the incorrect subliminal assumption that darker skin isn't good enough. A child screaming, "I hate you," to a parent has the power to inflict pain. And an "I love you" in the face of difficult circumstances can be sorely needed. Words have great power. And God's word has the ultimate power. The power to speak light into being and to still the waves of the ocean. The power to heal, restoring people to the community around them, as Jesus does for the widow and her son in Nain. The power to reorder our lives and remind us of what is important, just as Jesus did with disciples and Pharisees when discussing the Sabbath. Jesus has the power to speak words of truth, knowing everything about us, the good and the bad. And Jesus also has the power to speak words of love, to remind all of us of how much we are loved and inspire us to be better than we are. Loved enough for God to go into death. Loved enough to continue to invite us into a different way of living and being, even if we refuse the first or the second or the third time. Loved enough to remind us that we are not the only members of God's family, that there are others as well, and we ought to love them as God loves us. Words have power. And no matter what, God will always have the final word.